I'm still amazed.
Amen.
Good morning. Good to see each and every one of you this morning.
Good morning.
Open your Bibles, if you will, to John in chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let's have a quick word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would bless everyone in this meeting place this morning. We do pray for Trinidad, that you would heal his body and have mercy upon him and his family.
Amen.
Lord, you are a merciful God and you are able to heal. We pray that you would do so. If there's any person here this morning that doesn't know you as their Savior, may they come to know you as their Savior. May the saints of God be encouraged to looking forward to that blessed day when you return.
Amen.
We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Brian got the announcements a little bit confused. It wasn't in an effort to correct Brother Bill on his message. It was just sort of a recognition of the moving of the Spirit, because we already had it planned that we'd be talking about eternal security tomorrow. So we'll take up that with Brian after the meeting, try to get that straightened out. All right. John, we just have a good time around here. It's good to fellowship with the brethren. John chapter 14, this is a very rich portion of the Bible. Lots of good things in this portion of scriptures. I'm not going to deal with all of them. I will touch on them just very briefly. First of all, the Lord did promise that he's coming again.
Amen.
And are you ready for that coming?
Amen.
You should watch and pray. This also is a text that he talks about not letting your heart be troubled, because we have some promises. And it is amazing that if you know the answer, then the problem is not so difficult, if you already have the answer. And we already have the answer, so the problem shouldn't be difficult. I've given this illustration many times. When you know the end of the score, you already know who won. You're really perplexed about the up and downs of the score. Your team could be down by 15 in the last 15 minutes of the quarter, but you already know they won. It doesn't affect you. You're not perplexed. When you're going through it, it's difficult. But you and I, as believers, have read the last chapter. We ought to understand that we're going to be winners.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
This text is also the portion where many preachers take opportunity to talk about Jesus being the I Am. Because he says here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we ought not to forget that. That's a very valid thing that Jesus said, that he is I Am. In fact, the Jews wanted to stone him a few times because he mentioned that. I will remind you that he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. How about that for an eternal security verse? Huh? And Bill and I did not collaborate. He was trying to pull some questions from me. You brought up the question. Here's the answer. If you partake of that bread of life, you're never going to hunger.
Amen.
He said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. A good shepherd doesn't lose his sheep. A bad shepherd might, but not a good shepherd.
Amen.
He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Resurrection. He said, I am the first and the last.
Amen.
He said, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And then closer with our text, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is indeed the door. He is the way. When we say he's the way, we could be talking about three possible things. We could be talking about he's the course of life or action or experience. We could be talking about he's the means of obtaining a goal, for example, salvation. Or he's the manner, method, or means in the way of life. Or he's the path, the road, or course leading from one place to another. Certainly he's the path and road leading from death unto life. That would be true, and I believe all these other definitions would be true as well. You can take the definition that best fits your mind. But I really want to look this morning, if you will permit me, on this conversation or these statements or questions that Thomas made. As the Lord had just said to him, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And that's the title of my sermon this morning, How Can We Know the Way? Did you know there is a way?
Amen.
And did you know you can know the way?
Amen.
I know there is a question amongst people in general that can we really know the way? Well, Thomas asked that question, how can we know the way? And I want to answer that for you. First of all, Jesus has already told us the way.
Amen.
It's already in the Bible. If you would open the Bible and read it, believing what Jesus said, you can know the way. He said, I'm the way.
Amen.
And that is the great difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is about multitudes of ways. Christianity is about the way, who is Jesus. Religion is about doing things. Christianity is about Christ having done all things. He is the way. But don't you find it interesting that Thomas, Jesus had just said, whither I go ye know, and the way you know. Maybe this morning the reason you don't know the way is because you weren't listening. Jesus just told Thomas, and now he's saying, well, we don't know what you're talking about, where you're going, how you're going to get there, and we don't know the way. How can we know the way? Jesus just told him. And it is perplexing in the manners of life or in our experiences in life how many people have gotten a word from the Lord and then they stand there dumbfounded and asking the question, how can we know the way? God's told you how to do it. Somebody says, I don't know how to control my children. Well, there's a Bible that tells you how to control your children. I just don't know how. I don't know what to do with my marriage. Well, the Bible talks about what to do with your marriage. And they stand there dumbfounded. I don't know what to do. Did you ever realize that God has given us an answer?
Amen.
He's given us a book that we can find answers in. And many times, unfortunately, those that ask the question are not, apparently not asking it in sincerity. Or they're asking it in perhaps rebellion or unbelief. I'll give you a few examples from the scriptures. Look over in Mark in chapter 14. We'll be coming back here. Mark in chapter 14, and down about verse 26. And when they had sung an hymn, and they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them, that's the disciples or the apostles, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Now that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Did you read it? Can Jesus lie?
No.
He's the truth.
Amen.
He can't lie. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he, Peter, spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. I think that last part was for us because we might say, oh, we'd never do what Peter did. But likewise said they all. But here's Peter denying the Lord. Did he think the Lord was fibbing? Do you think he was just joshing with him? And Peter's standing up to the Lord and saying, no, it's not going to, I heard what you said. You said this is going to happen. That may happen with others, but it's not going to happen with me. And I think a lot of times that people that ask the question, how can we know the way, is they don't want to know the way.
Yeah.
Because they have other expectations in their life, other manner of thinking. They don't agree with God's way. And so they say, how can I know the way? So here's Peter denying the Lord. The Lord said, all of you are going to deny me. And Peter says, not me. Many a sinner says, not me. That happens to somebody else, but not me. Look over in Acts in chapter 10. This is not a rare phenomenon. It happens quite often in the scriptures. And unexpectedly comes from the heart of believers. Over in Acts in chapter 10, down about verse 13, he says, and there came a voice to him after he let down, I guess we should read verse 12, verse 11, and I saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again, and the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessels were received up again into heaven. Don't you find it remarkable here, Peter, in response to this command of the Lord, rise, slay and eat, he says, not so, Lord. I don't know you about you as a parent, but Janice and I very early in life did not allow our children to say, not so, Mom, or not so, Dad. Because Mom and Dad have certain authority. And we did not allow our children to debuck that authority. Now here is Peter himself. He is saying, not so, Lord. Isn't that a contradiction in terms? You don't say, not so, Lord. If he's Lord, you say, yes, Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that true? Amen. Many a person has difficulty in asking the question, how can I know the way? Is because they are in rebellion to the very commands of God. They are resisting what God has clearly said.
Amen.
It goes against their customs. Peter was a Jew. He had never eaten this type of meat. He was probably pretty proud of that too. I've been zealous all my life to keep these ordinances. I don't eat that type of meat. I don't do it. I'm not going to do it. Not so, Lord. That doesn't agree with my religion, my custom. How can I know the way? Jesus says, I'm the way. But my religion says, she's the way. Or somebody else is the way. Or everybody has their own way. Jesus says, I am the way. But how can I know the way? Not so, Lord. Maybe that's the problem. Over in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. Says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now here's Jesus sitting down with his disciples, and this happens many times in the gospel. He explains to them, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be killed, but the third day I'm going to rise again.
Amen.
It's amazing how many times that's repeated in the gospels. Jesus sets aside time, sits down and talks with the disciples. Listen to me, this is what's going to happen. You'd think they would have believed it. You'd think they would have said, oh wow, we'll be ready for that. We'll be ready for that. But notice what it says. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now this is the Lord he's rebuking.
Right.
And he began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, and thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." In relation to that question, how can we know the way? The problem many times comes about because the sinner wants to rebuke the Lord. The sinner somehow has in his mind that he's smarter than God is. God says, this is the way it's going to be. And the sinner says, I rebuke thee. Who are you to rebuke the Lord?
Amen.
Who are you and I to rebuke the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The audacity of Peter to come and rebuke Jesus Christ. You know why? Doesn't fit into his plans.
Amen.
Doesn't fit into his traditions, his concept, his understanding. And many a person doesn't know the way because it doesn't agree with their understanding. Could this be the reason Thomas says, how can we know the way? Contradicting the master. The student contradicting the teacher. Isn't that amazing? Do you think you can get to God by your way? When God tells you the way, you're going to find out, you're going to find and discover another way? I don't think so.
Right. Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way. The other problem is there is a propensity to unbelief. Would you agree?
Amen.
It seems it's easier for us to doubt than it is to believe.
Yeah.
So Jesus gives us a promise, and he gave Thomas and the disciples all the same promise. I'm going to the Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to come again and unto you and take you unto myself. By the way, let's go back over there. I just want to throw this out here for you. Because if you've ever dealt with some of these religious people, They want to get in all sorts of discussions about, you know, are we going to be in heaven? Are we going to be on the earth? Where are we going to be? Really, for a Christian, it doesn't matter because we're going to be with Christ.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus promised. He says here that where I am, there ye may be also. I've had some Jehovah's Witnesses tell me, well, I don't want to be in heaven. You don't want to be in heaven? No, I'm going to just stay here on earth. Well, you know, the earth's going to be burned up.
Yeah.
He said, well, where are you going to be? I'm going to be wherever Jesus is.
Amen.
That's what he promised. Wherever he is,
yeah,
we're going to be.
Amen.
That's important. And I think wherever he is, that's going to be heaven.
Yeah.
In fact, if I read my Bible right over in Ephesians, it says something about we're already seated in heavenly places right. In Christ Jesus. That was extra. You can leave a tip if you want, but that was just extra. But remember who's asking the question. He has a name. He's called infamously Doubting Thomas. And many a person has problems and does not know the answer or feigns that they don't know the answer to the question, how can we know the way? Is because they themselves are filled with doubt and unbelief. Many a person that says they don't understand the Bible, oh, they understand it, they just don't believe it. Because they don't want to believe in a hell. They don't want to believe in an eternal judgment. It isn't with the difficulty of understanding, it's the belief of what is actually said. And if you want to understand the Bible, how about believing what the Bible says? That would be a good start.
Amen.
But this is Doubting Thomas. Over in John in chapter 20 it says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
You're not sure what is the correct way and how to get to God. But you've already determined in your heart you're not going to believe. No matter what evidence is presented to you, no matter how many promises that God gives you, you will not believe. Do you really believe? Are you so arrogant to come to the conclusion that God has to give you special revelation? Are you, as they say in Polish, the pimpek shata, the belly button of the world, the whole world revolves around you? Are you so arrogant and such a narcissist that you think that God himself has to come down and reveal himself to you and show himself? It's not good enough to get it secondhand. And so you ask, how can we know the way? Well, you've been told the way. If you're an American, you probably heard about how to get there many a times. You're sitting in a church where the gospel is preached. I'm sure you've heard over and over again that Jesus is the way.
Amen.
You're not ignorant of these things. You don't have an excuse. Perhaps the problem is unbelief. Now, let's not get too hard on Thomas, because it was Thomas, after the Lord had said that after he saith to his disciples, let us go in again to Judea, his disciples saying, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest thither again? Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So it wasn't that Thomas is unique. He was willing to die for the Lord. But it's a thing about belief and faith and unbelief and lack of faith. It sneaks up on you.
Amen.
When you reason with yourself, everything in inside of you says, I ought to believe.
Amen.
And one man, he cries out, help my unbelief.
Yes.
Amen.
How can we know the way? Well, you can't know the way if you're not going to believe the way. Over in Luke in chapter 24 and verse 25, then Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? How many proofs do you need?
Right.
And the conclusion that God has, that Jesus says, O fools and slow of heart to believe. Maybe that's the problem. It's not the answer to the question, how can we know the way? We know the way, but we don't want to believe that that's the way. Hebrews in chapter 11, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Did you know, my friend, that without faith you can't please God? That God has the demand upon you that he expects you to believe? How many times have you heard this excuse? Well, I haven't seen God, therefore he does not exist. I've never seen your brain, therefore it does not exist. I mean, it's fallacious. There's lots of things that we've never seen. Has anybody seen George Washington? Did he exist? Anybody see Abraham Lincoln? Did he exist? The thought that we would demand that we have to see when God himself said he's a spirit and he demands faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, this is a problem with a big segment of what is called Christianity, is that their worship is based on seeing. In order to believe God, they have to have an image. Well, the fact that you have an image tells God that you don't believe. Because faith is not seeing, faith is believing without seeing. I have to have a priest, I have got to bow down before a man that I can see and confess to somebody that will hear me and respond to me verbally so that I can hear it. Well, again, that's not faith. That's sight. And God demands faith. An image does not give you faith, and a building does not give you faith. A priest does not give you faith. If you read your Bible, you already know the answer. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
And what does he say in this verse in Hebrews 11? He says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I just don't know the way. How can I know the way? Are you diligently seeking him? When you wanted a job, what did you do to find a job? You diligently sought a job. When you wanted to get married, what did you do? You diligently sought the partner that would be good for you. I know in 1978, in January of 1978, I said, I have not been given the gift of celibacy. I am not going to be an Apostle Paul. I am going to be of that other class. I'm going to get married. And in January of 1978, I diligently began to seek. By October of 1978, I convinced somebody to marry me. But maybe you don't have the answers. How can we know the way? Is because you're not diligent enough to seek after it. You're perplexed about where you're going to spend eternity. How about seeking God? There's great questions in your mind about the way and how you can know the way. What have you done to diligently seek the answer? Maybe the problem is laziness or indifference. Many a sinner has said, boy, I wish I could have the life that you have. Well, you can if you come to Christ. Amen. Well, I don't want to come to Christ. Well, the life I have doesn't come without Christ. Amen. You want to have peace? Find Christ. Amen. You want to have joy? Find Christ. Amen. You want to have forgiveness of sins? Find Christ.
Amen.
You say you don't know where he's at? Diligently look for him.
Amen.
What are you doing? You're not going to find him in a bar. How about trying a church?
Amen.
You're not going to find him sitting at home. How about finding somebody that's going to actually give you the scriptures? Many a person has a question about God. How can I know the way? But they won't diligently seek after God. They won't read the Bible. They won't go to where the Bible is preached. But they remain with their question, how can I know the way? Sounds like a pretext to me. Did you know that ignorance is not an excuse?
Amen.
What about all those Hottentots that never heard about Christ? What about them? You're not a Hottentot. You heard about him. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
but what about them? That's not your case. Your case is you heard him, you heard about him, what are you going to do with him?
Right. Amen.
Like Pilate, what am I going to do with Christ? What am I supposed to do with him? Are you going to listen to the crowds? Or in Pilate's case, you're going to listen to his wife. His conscience was crippled because he listened to the voice of the crowds instead of that still small voice within his heart.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing was wrong. Three times he found him innocent, and he still crucified him. And you, feigning the question, how can we know the way? You come up with an excuse. Well, what about the Hottentots? Well, if God chose to forgive all of the Hottentots that didn't hear, that wouldn't be your excuse because you heard.
Yeah. Amen.
And if God chose to condemn all the Hottentots that didn't hear, you ought to fear God.
Amen. Amen.
Look what it says in Romans in chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of them from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It's a terrible thing to have the truth and then squelch it. It's a terrible thing to know the truth and then hide it or pretend that you don't have it. You're not going to fool God.
Right.
Amen.
You're not going to fool God.
Amen.
You're like a child caught with his hand in a cookie jar.
Amen.
And the mother or father says, I told you not to get in the cookie jar, and you come up with a great excuse, but Johnny has a cookie. What does that have to do with anything? You got caught with your hand in the cookie jar. You were told not to take the cookies. And your hand is in the cookie jar and you're worried about Johnny.
Right.
You ought to be worried about yourself.
Amen, sir.
You're the one asking the question, how can we know the way? God has explained to you the way, or God's revealed himself through what he's created. You ought to know there's a God. I think Jesus says, in the Bible, it even says, consider the lilies. Have you ever considered the creation of God, some of the amazing things that God created? Did you ever figure out the heart of a giraffe? You ought to study that sometime. It doesn't pump like our heart, because when his big old neck goes down, there's got to be valves in that heart that stops that blood, otherwise his head would explode. Did you ever think about that?
No.
Did you ever think? You never thought about it. Well, I just told you. There are bugs that has poisons in them that would kill anything else around them. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Amen.
It's amazing. Do you know how many fish are in the sea? Do you know how much sand is on the beaches? Can you count the stars? There are some amazing things out there. And let me tell you something. All those amazing things do not indicate that there's no God. All those amazing things, the more you study about it, the more you're awed. It tells you there is a God, and if there is a God, you ought to be diligent to seek after him.
Amen.
The other problem, I believe, is wrong expectations. And we see this in the life of the disciples over and over again. When's your kingdom coming? They were ready to reign, but they weren't ready to suffer. And many a person is left with a doubt and doesn't have the answers. How can we know the way? Is because they have the wrong expectations.
Right.
How many a person has said, I'm not going to believe in God because look at all the evil in the world. If God is God, he could allow evil to be in the world, couldn't he? If he's God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Many a person is disappointed because they had expectations that God would somehow minister unto them according to their liking or according to their expectations. And when they were not ministered unto, God's at fault. Did you know that the Lord gave us an example that he came to minister unto and not be ministered unto? This would be a life-changing verse, because I think if every husband and wife would live by this verse, divorce would become non-existent. Because what happens in a marriage? The husband had expectations and the wife didn't meet it, therefore there's a clash. Or the wife had expectations and the husband didn't meet it, therefore there's a clash. Why is there division in the church? Because the congregants came and they had expectations and the preacher didn't meet their expectations and now they're upset. Or the preacher had expectations out of the congregants and now he's upset. Jesus said he didn't come to minister, he came to minister unto. And many of your problems could be resolved if you would serve others. And more importantly, if you would serve God.
Yeah, that's right.
Look over in Haggai. Thomas asked the question, how can we know the way? Many a sinner has repeated that same refrain. How can we know the way to God? There's so many religions, so many different ways. How do we know the way? Well, Jesus said, I am the way. In the book of Haggai in chapter 1, I'll let you search for it, but I'm going to read it anyway in verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
Amen.
Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but you are not warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Sounds like my bank account. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Maybe you don't have the answers. How can we know the ways? Because you haven't considered the vanity of your own ways. Did you know that you're miserable? There is no peace, said the Lord to the wicked. There's no peace. You fumble around and you moan and groan. You've got no peace and you're saying that you're seeking God and you're crying out, how can we know the way? My life is miserable. God says, consider your ways. Don't go your way. It's vain. That would be the first figuring out. How about figure out it's not that way? You get lost. You can look on a map. Okay, we can't go that way. That's not the way. How about this way? How about don't follow your ways? God, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Have you ever considered that? I tell you what, it had a great influence on my life because before I ever knew God, now I knew about God, but I didn't know God. I was not seeking after God, but something happened in my life. I realized that my ways were not pleasing to me. My path, my road was not leading in the direction that I wanted to go. That is a great big step to finding God. To realize the vanity of your own life. What is your life? It's just a grass. It's a flower. It's a moment. It's a snap of a finger. Just yesterday I was getting married. That was 1978. That's a long time ago. I work with colleagues and I'm thinking, I work with a bunch of kids. Well, these kids. I start talking about some things and I said, we never heard of that. I tell them, I remember when the man first walked on the moon. They said, what? Black and white TV, what? Phones that hang on the wall, what? Have you considered your ways? The prophet said that the Lord himself said, commanded, consider your ways.
Amen.
Your ways do not bring you peace. They do not bring you joy. They leave you thirsty. You pull from the well and you're still not satisfied. Jesus said, I got some waters that will never stop flowing.
Amen.
Drink of them. He said, I am the bread of life. Him that eats of me will never hunger again. Have you considered that? Consider your ways that they are vain. The way of the wicked is this darkness. They know not at what they stumble. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. And then in Romans in chapter 3, look at it if you will with me in verse 12. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I have met literally miserable people. And I've talked to them. I said, have you considered the Lord Jesus Christ? Not an option. Not an option. All of your attempts and all your efforts and all your attempting to try and you still have not found peace and Christ is not an option. I'm tired of religion. I didn't offer a religion. I offered you Christ.
Amen.
Well, I don't want anything to do with religion. I'm not offering you religion. I'm offering you Christ. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. One of the Bible studies we give to young believers is have them read through the Gospel of John and look for the word life. And right off the bat, you find that life is in Him. It's in Christ. It's not in religion. It's not in drugs. It's not in alcohol. It's not in sex. Life is found in Him. You ought to be diligently to find yourself in Him. Find Him, and you're going to find life. And if you don't, misery. And so God says, consider your ways. They're miserable. You're miserable. You have no peace. You hunger and you thirst. You labor and travail. And everything goes into a purse that has a hole in it and goes right out. Your cisterns are broken up. Water is spilling out everywhere. And God is offering you everlasting peace. Waters that will never stop flowing. Bread of life that leads unto eternal life. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Consider your ways. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. What are you spending your time with dead people for? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Had a young lady come to me the other day. She says, Brent, I wish I could find a man like you.
There's only one.
Yeah, there's only one. Yeah. I said, already taken. Already taken. What she meant was somebody that was willing to marry somebody that would be committed for life. She says, I can't find anybody that wants that type of commitment. I said, where are you looking? Where are you looking? When is the last time you've been to church? I think you have a better chance of finding somebody that will be committed to a lifelong marriage in a church than in a bar. And many a sinner have that question, how can I know the way? Well, they're looking in the wrong places. You're not going to find the light in darkness. Get out of darkness. Head towards the light.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the light. Now let me conclude here this morning because time is fleeting. Let me just say that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me.
Amen.
That's telling me He's the only way. There are no other options. Find Him or perish. You better find Him. Jesus said this, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It's findable if you'll seek after it. But it's not in the broad way. It's in the narrow way. It's the only way. It's Christ. And Christ says throughout the Gospels, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Over and over again, Jesus says, come unto me. And when the disciples impeded the mothers bringing their children to the Lord, He rebuked them and said, let them be, for such are the kingdom of God. Jesus says to you this morning, come unto me, I am the way. You're looking for life? He says, I am the life. Amen. You're looking for resurrection? He says, I'm the resurrection. You're looking for truth? He says, I'm the truth. You're looking for the way? How can we know the way? He says, Thomas, I am the way.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. Wow. Publicans and harlots enter into the kingdom of God before you. Why is that? Because you would not come to the way. You wanted to hold on to your tradition. You wanted to hold on to your customs. You wanted to take the Lord by the hem of his garment and rebuke him. You wanted to tell him, not so, Lord. You are a rebel, and my advice to you is repent and come to the way. Amen. He's the only way. There's no other way. You want to get out of your misery? Come to Christ. You want to be forgiven of your sins? Come to Christ. It's amazing that you'll go to Guadalajara, or you'll go to Mexico City, or you go to San Juan de los Lagos, or you'll go great journeys to somewhere else, and Jesus says, come to me. Diligently seek him. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Thomas says, how can we know the way? Jesus says, I just told you, but let me remind you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. You want to get to the Father? Find Christ. He's calling you today. Yeah. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that if there is a lost soul in the sound of my voice today, that they might be saved and they would come to you and find out that you are indeed the way. Thomas asked the question, how can we know the way? We know the answer. You are the way. I hope my brethren and sisters here this morning were encouraged and blessed. Bless us this day. And again, we remember Brother Trinidad, that you'd bless him and heal his body. Have mercy upon us. Bring us back safely tonight as we gather in your name around the Lord's Supper. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name.